Amen. We're so glad you guys are here in Exchange this morning, and I just want to invite you to take your Bible, and we're going to look at the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. If you need a Bible today, we have Bibles. Just raise your hand so that you can follow along. We want to make sure that you have one and you can get one. 1 Peter is where we're going to look in chapter 3, and it's kind of near the end of the Bible if you're kind of looking to find it, almost near the very end of the Bible. I wonder if you guys ever think much about the future. You guys think about the future at all? Maybe like you think about what things will be like someday, and you know maybe what you want to be when you grow up. Does anybody know what like you really want to do for a job someday? Like you've always kind of known what you want to do. Does anybody know like... How about you? What do you want to do in the future? What's your job that you'd like to do someday?
A race car driver.
A race car driver. That's a really cool job. I like that. How about you? A music artist. Okay, cool, cool. We got some good answers. How about you? A journalist. Oh, I like that one. That's great. How about you? A teacher. Cool. I like that. Okay. How about a guy? How about you? Demolition, do demolition. Cool. There's some good jobs that you guys have there. I like that. Just to think maybe a little bit about like what the future might be like for you, what things might be like someday. Maybe you've thought about that, like what you want to do, or even just like what you want high school to be like, maybe a team that you want to be on someday, or maybe even in college, a sport you want to play, or a job you want to do in the future. If you're like me, while you're in middle school, you probably don't think that much about the future. But we do know that being a Christian involves thinking about what the future is going to be like. If we're a Christian, we think about how great the future is going to be. We have a future that we look forward to and that we know is going to be greater than anything we can imagine. If you're a Christian, you have a future someday in heaven. And in that place, there's going to be no more sin. It's going to be a place of perfect joy, perfect peace. You have a future that you look forward to where there's going to be no disappointment or sadness. There's going to be no pain. You have a future that you look forward to in heaven with Jesus forever and ever. If you're a Christian, you know that you have an incredible future for you someday that you look forward to. It's a future we as Christians love to think about and know about. If you become a Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus, you have that future someday for you locked in for sure. But this morning here, when we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, we have a reminder in our verses here in the Bible that being a Christian isn't just about the future someday. I think that's important for us to think about, especially if you've grown up in a church, because I think sometimes it's easy to think of being a Christian about just about like the future. Like someday I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus, and that's great, and that's good, and that's incredible. But even now, we need to think about that the fact that being a Christian involves your life today, your life this week, this month. God wants you to think about not just the future as a Christian, but also to think about how you're living right here and right now. God wants your life to be affected even this very week, even today. This letter, 1 Peter, has been written to teach us that Jesus wants to change your life. Yes, to bring you into his kingdom and to be with him forever and ever in heaven someday, but he wants to change your life even now here in this world. He wants to fill your life with good things, with good works. He wants to make you somebody who's holy and set apart, whose life is filled with love for other Christians and love for this world that's lost in their sin. God wants to make you a new creation even now here in this world. He wants you to even think about your life now and how he wants it to change even this week as a Christian. We know from 1 Peter that God wants you to become a Christian, but also that he wants you, if you have become a Christian, to have a life that's changed because you know Jesus. And that's what we're seeing here in this part of 1 Peter as we look at chapter 3 this morning. The ways that God wants to change your life if you are a Christian in the greatest way possible. The kind of person he wants you to become and be turned into, to be transformed into if you become a Christian. This is a big idea this morning, that being a Christian changes how I live here and now. It changes how I live here and now. Yes, it's going to change your future in the best way possible. You're going to be with Jesus forever someday in the future. But even right here and right now, your life should start to be changing because you've been saved by Christ, if you've placed your faith in him. And that's what we see here in chapter 3. Being a Christian changes how you live here and now. So let's read from 1 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we started studying this book, this letter of 1 Peter, we said how this letter is written for us to know how great it is to be a Christian and how we need to live if we are a Christian. Peter wanted people to know how great and incredible it is to be a Christian and how your life should be changed if you really are a Christian. He's saying if you're saved, you need to know how incredible that is. And that's what we saw in chapter 1 is he talked about what it is to be part of God's kingdom. It involves you receiving God's mercy, his forgiveness from your sins. It involves having a new life, a hope in this world that lasts forever. It involves having an inheritance for you someday in heaven. And it gives you so much reason to praise God if you've become a Christian. And now here in chapter 2 and 3, we see that God has a way he wants Christians to live. He wants them to be shaped into a new kind of way of life. He wants them to be righteous and to live holy, set apart in this world. He wants to fill your life with all of these good things, making you this new kind of person, even here in this world. If you've become a Christian, we've died to our sin and we live to righteousness. We see that in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin, That means leave behind our old way of life of sin that used to be what we were all about, and to now live to righteousness. God wants to make you as a Christian this new righteous person, even here in this world. Not yet perfect, but putting off sin and putting on righteousness. And here in chapter 3, we kind of see two ways that shows up. Two ways that the gospel, that becoming a Christian is going to change your life. And the first one we see is point one, that becoming a Christian changes our families. It changes our families. Verses 1 through 7 talk about this. If you know Jesus, it's going to affect the way that you treat the people around you in your family. And Peter here talks about wives, and he talks about husbands who've become Christians. If someone becomes a Christian, that's obviously going to change the way that they treat their husband or their wife. And verses 1 through 6 talk about how talks about wives and how wives, if they become Christians, are going to treat their husbands in this new kind of way that's godly. And then in verse 7, he talks about how husbands, if they become Christians, are going to treat their wives in this new kind of godly way. And Peter's especially thinking about someone who becomes a Christian, but then who's still married to someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. And how can that person who's become a Christian show the gospel, show the good news of Jesus to their husband or their wife that they love, but who's still lost in their sin? Peter explains how that can happen. It's through their godly life. And not so much even in what they say, their words or them speaking the gospel, but actually just in the way that they live, the way that they've been changed by Jesus and the way that they treat the unbelievers around them in their life. Christian wives, verses 1 and 2 say, should be respectful. They should honor the Lord by following the leadership of their husband that God's given them. And Christian husbands, verse 7 says, should in the same way be honoring and deeply respecting their wives. They should lead and protect and provide and care for their wife as someone who's very precious. And all of that, the Bible is saying, is a way that you can show the gospel to somebody who doesn't know Christ in the way that you treat them, not just in what you say, but in the way you act, in the way you're changed in your own life by Jesus. This is the kind of new and good and amazing change that Jesus brings into somebody's life, to honor and love and care for and respect the people in their life. The most close relationships in a family, to have a heart that's loving and respectful and honors the other people in your family instead of being sinful and proud and angry and bitter. There's love instead of sin. And this is important to catch. In verse 3, the Bible tells us there that God is not so concerned about how someone like a woman or a man looks on the outside. That's not where God's big focus is. It says in verse 3, your adornment must not be merely on the outside, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. Verse 4 says, God cares about your heart as a Christian, the inner person of the heart, who you really are on the inside. I've had it happen before. Maybe you have too, where you get like some food. Maybe it's like an apple that you got from the store. And on the outside, that apple looks like it's going to be really good. And then maybe you have it packed in your lunch at school or something, and then you eat it and it's awful. It tastes terrible. It's like rotten. And it looks so good on the outside, but on the inside, it's disgusting. It's horrible. That's where God's focus is. It's not on how you look on the outside to other people. It's on who you really are, where only He knows on the inside. The outside can look great, but God cares about who you are on the inside. God says here, that's where his focus is, and that's what he wants you to think about if you're a Christian, who you are and how you're treating other people from the inside, from your heart. The outside is not what's most important. Your heart is. What matters is if you are really a Christian, saved from your sin, forgiven, and being made new by Jesus, that you're living this new life that shows up on the outside, but's changed by Jesus on the inside. Maybe you know on the inside that you're not really a Christian at all. The answer for you is to believe in Jesus, to turn to him and have him make you a new creation, a new person, change you, not on the outside, but from the inside out. And when God changes someone, when he saves them, that has a powerful impact on the people who aren't Christians around you. If you want to have an impact on somebody who you know doesn't know Christ, it's not just in the words you say, but it's in the way that you treat the people around you. It's in the way you treat them. It's in the way you treat your family. There's a story of this kind of situation in the history of the church from a really, really long time ago that I came across in a book by one pastor. And he talks about this man from church history named Augustine. And Augustine had a mom whose name was Monica. And Monica was this real woman from church history from around 300 AD. And she became a Christian, but her husband and her son, Augustine, they were not Christians. Monica prayed for years and years and years for her husband and for her son. But not only did she pray, and not only did she speak the truth to them, she also had a behavior of love, of kindness, of patience, of godliness, year after year, even when it was difficult. And eventually, at the end of her husband's life, as he was dying, he had become a Christian. He became a Christian because he saw his wife, because he saw Monica's love for Jesus, how she was changed in her heart by Christ, and that showed up in the way she treated him. She was somebody who lived this way because she was changed by Jesus in her life. Jesus loves to change families because of the gospel. He loves to change the way husbands and wives treat each other. But I know that marriage is probably not what you're thinking about most in middle school. God does want us to know about marriage, about this good thing he's created. He wants us to know that his word has a lot to say about it for you as you think about that someday. But even here, I think what's helpful for us to think about is how you relate to the people in your family. There's an easy jump here to Ephesians 6. Maybe you know what Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 say. Maybe something to write down and look at later. It's very simple. It says, if you're in your household, if you're a child, then you should obey your parents. You should honor and submit to and respect your parents. That's a really practical way you can show that Christ has changed your heart. Sometimes I think it's kind of hard to know exactly how God wants you to live for him as a Christian when you're in middle school, how we could share the gospel with other people around us, or how we can live out the fact that we've been saved by Christ. But one of the most basic ways is in the way that you treat your family, the way that you respond to your parents by obeying them and honoring them and respecting them, the way you treat your siblings and the people around you. Every part of our life should be changed if we've truly become a Christian. For you, it looks like the way you treat your brother and your sister, the way you treat your parents, the way you honor them. And all of that can show other people who don't know Christ the goodness of Jesus and how he can change someone's heart. Maybe you know you're struggling with this, with your parents, you're failing. You know that you're doing terribly at this. Maybe you know you're not a Christian at all, and this feels impossible. The answer for you is to turn and to trust in Jesus, have him change your heart, be made new by him. That's the only way that you can have this kind of life that finds joy and wants to obey and wants to honor your parents. God wants to transform your family, to transform the way that you treat others around you, the way you treat your parents. And that can only happen when Jesus is your Savior. So being a Christian is going to change families. We see that in verses 1 through 7. But then there's just one other second point I want to give you this morning, and that's that becoming a Christian changes all of our relationships. We see that in verses 8 through 12. We know that the gospel transforms families. Back in chapter 2, we saw how it transforms how you respond to authority in your life, to government, and how people respond to the people that they work for. It transforms families, but really in verses 8 and 9, we're reminded here in the Bible that if you know Jesus, it's going to change the way you treat everyone around you. Look at verse 8. It says, "All of you be harmonious." Some translations say, "Have unity of mind." That means to treat other Christians in a way of unity. And that means we think of each other as being on one team, one goal. We're all working together on the same team. Christians should have harmony, unity of mind. We should also have sympathy. We have joy when other people around us are joyful, and we have sorrow when other people around us are sorrowful. We rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We have the same feelings as the other people around us in love. That's sympathy. Christians also need to have, verse 8 says, brotherly love. We treat others like we're part of the same family if we're believers. We love each other as family, as brothers and as sisters. Verse 8 also says that we should have a kind and tender heart. We should have a humble mind, humility, like Jesus. Humility means we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but we treat other people like Jesus, who treated others as more important than himself. We don't repay evil for evil, verse 9 says as well. That's hard when you have a little brother who's picking on you or something. We don't repay evil for evil, but instead we give a blessing. I think that maybe even makes us think about unbelievers who might treat you kind of differently or maybe a little bit unkind, with a little bit of unkindness because they know you're a Christian. How are you to respond to somebody like that? Well, it's never to give back an insult or evil, but it's actually to respond with kindness, with a blessing, with saying good things about that person. God wants us to treat other people that way. He wants our relationships all to be changed in this kind of new and good way. Man, what a good way that is to live. I mean, I want to be somebody like verse 8 and verse 9 says. I want to be changed into that kind of person. And I don't want to be somebody who's the opposite of all those things. I don't want to be somebody who's always divided, who has no sympathy, no brotherly kindness, who's proud. I don't want to be somebody who returns evil for evil. I don't want to be like that at all. We should want to be somebody like this, and I love that the Bible shows us how to do that. If we know Jesus, verse 9 says, the end of that is going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing. Living this kind of way is going to bring blessing into your life. It's going to bring joy. It's going to bring God's smile on your life. And that's what I think verses 10 and 11 and 12 are really about. Just kind of a little bit of a reminder for you about what your life will be like if you are a Christian and you're pursuing these things. The path of going this way, of being somebody who's saved and somebody who's walking in this kind of love and kindness, these new relationships. Verse 10 says, the one who desires life and to see good days. That's going to be you if you're transformed by Jesus. There's going to be life and joy and good days. There's going to be joy in your future, God's blessing and God's smile on your life. But then verse 12 says, at the very end, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The other option, the other path, is the Lord's not being pleased with your life, the Lord being disappointed. The end is going to be sorrow and sadness if you're without Christ. So we should want to listen to what these verses of wisdom are saying. They're kind of almost like verses saying, listen up and hear. Heed what this wisdom is telling you. Be a Christian and be somebody who's changed like this in their heart, to love instead of hate, to be kind instead of unkind. I think of it almost like an older sibling. You guys have any older siblings? Maybe you are an older sibling. You guys know. I always loved being a youngest sibling because I had older brothers and an older sister who could tell me, like, don't do that. I've tried that. I took that class with that teacher. Don't take that teacher. You don't want to take that class. You want to take this teacher. Or, you know, they could say things like, listen to mom and dad when they say that. Like, I learned the hard way. You need to listen to what they're saying. I think these verses are kind of like an older sibling who's saying, listen up. I can tell you the right way. I can tell you the way you want to live your life, if you will listen. And here is this good guidance to be somebody who is saved by Jesus and somebody who has relationships that are changed because you've been saved by Christ. This is the way that's going to bring you joy in your life, that's going to bring peace in your relationships. It's going to lead to a life of joy. It's going to lead to a life of gladness. And this is what God wants for your life. First Peter reminds us how great it is to be a Christian. And not only what that's going to be like in the future someday, but even how it's going to change your life in the best way, even now. God wants to change our relationships. We're seeing that in chapter 2 and here in chapter 3. He wants to change your family, and he wants to change every kind of relationship in your life, to help you love and see good days in your future, to fill your life with joy. How is that possible? How is that possible? It's only through becoming a Christian. It's only through turning to Jesus and having him change you on the inside out, having him forgive your sins, having him make you a new creation. I think that's a good way to end this morning, to think about where you kind of fit into these verses. Are you somebody whose relationships have been changed for the better because you've been saved by Jesus? Or are you somebody whose relationships are in a terrible mess because you don't know Christ? God's word reminds us here, Christ is the one who can fill your life with good days. He can give you a future of joy forever, but he can even change your life here and now. He can change every relationship in your life. He can fill you with joy and with peace. He can put his smile on you if you become a Christian and you're changed by Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much that you change relationships, that you fill families with joy and with gladness. We thank you that you can change all of our relationships, the way we treat other Christians, the way we treat unbelievers, Lord. And the end of that is only going to bring us joy and good days, happiness. But Lord, those who reject you, we know the end is the opposite. It's your face against them. It's sorrow. So Lord, I pray that every student in this room would know the joy of Christ, that they would be saved by Christ, and that you would even fill their life with good things now as they trust in you and are saved. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen.